making TV special.
Made with creamy butter.
And you know what that means?
It's happening. I can feel it.
Yep.
I'm a heavenless nervous breakdown. A mental shakedown. See my hands how they shiver. See my knees how they quiver. My whole body's in a jitter. I'm a heavenless nervous breakdown.
Nervous breakdown. Wanda Jackson, the queen of rockabilly, back for one last go round, aided and abetted by Jack White. You may recall he did a similar treatment with one Miss Loretta Lynn. That's brand new music from The Party Ain't Over. And welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the B-Side episode 204 from Media Monarchy. My name is James Evan Pilato. I'm your host and webmaster of the site and show, MediaMonarchy.com, your source for alternative news, politics, conspiracies, and cover-ups. It is Friday, February 11th, 2011, and we are recording and broadcasting live from the Portland Radio Authority early in the morning here, about a quarter of nine here on February 11th. On the Portland Radio Authority, praradio.org. And we're going to go over all the alternative news in the media monarchy kingdom for you. So we'll get straight to it with the latest from Clyde Lewis and groundzeromedia.org. Horse Sense Prophecy, the UFO, Mahdi and the Temple Mount, getting into the strange events surrounding the Dome of the Rock, the Temple Mount, supposed UFO sightings. It is something unidentified. And we even have a stranger update for you coming a little later. But the latest episodes from groundzeromedia.org you can subscribe to right from the page. Get them sent to you. He broadcasts live Sunday nights here in Portland, Oregon on KUFO 101.1 FM. But also my man James Corbett of CorbettReport.com, his latest episodes Inside the Rand Corporation as part of the Documentaries That Matter series. But Patriot Mythology is episode 174 from Corbett Report, and it is impressive to say the very least. Just because the mainstream media is wrong doesn't mean the alternative media is right. From spurious quotations to the JFK myth to the Fat Bin Laden video, this episode, Patriot Mythology, does a fact check on common misconceptions in the alternative media. And I must say, this was important. This was bold. This took a lot of guts to fully get into this kind of area, in an area that can already be rife with infighting. So I commend James Corbett for this Patriot Mythology episode, but the hits just keep on coming. Of course, the latest episode of the Sunday Update, Diet, Injections, and Injunctions, and perhaps more importantly, an excellent new entry in his Film, Literature, and the New World Order series, this time Franz Kafka's The Trial. Of course, interviews, Bob Chapman, Dr. James Beck, interviews coming out constantly. Huge, amazing work, as always, from CorbettReport.com. We're now going to shift gears over to the newest site in the kingdom of the monarchy of the media. It's called HolyHexes.com, getting into the pop culture. Let's blast through these headlines on alleged Armageddon ambassadors and audio assault. The psychology of Armageddon. Why do Americans want Jesus to come back and end it all? This article, as are the next couple we're going to mention, all come from a site called GodDiscussion.com. And I grew up with this. I have a background in this sort of fire, brimstone, Southern Baptist upbringing of the rapture. And you won't have to go through anything bad on earth. So that's the simple, almost glib explanation or answer to this question. Why do Americans want Jesus to come back and end it all? Because they think they're gone. Furthermore, from GodDiscussion.com, speculation rages on. This is what we were just referencing with the latest from GroundZeroMedia.org. UFO battles, the Elohim, and Jerusalem. This post getting into the strange lights that are kind of amazing, to say the very least, if you check out the videos. But then it gets even stranger. Newborn baby left at the Dome of the Rock reignites proclamations of signs and wonders at the Temple Mount. Strange things are afoot at the Temple Mount. Obama names second round of faith-based advisors. You can get that from BeliefNet. And even more, Obama reappoints Susan Cook, a prominent Christian pastor, as religious freedom ambassador. And of course, it's all amid controversy. Welsh cult leader had sex with girl. That's from the UK press. Seven religious companies besides Chick-fil-A, you know, like Tyson Foods or Walmart or even Forever 21. And that's from the Belief blog. And again, I remember Chick-fil-A. It was right next to the movie theater, which I wasn't allowed to go into. but blasting out the rest of the headlines. Assault suspect claims to be a vampire. This story coming out of Alabama from WKRG. Evan Brown, alleged vampire wannabe, now seeing his case headed for a grand jury. And as if all of that wasn't ridiculous enough, we'll close out this blast of pop culture headlines with a little bit of audio satire from The Onion.
It's The Onion Radio News. A family dog is barking at evil. This is Doyle Redland reporting. A terrier owned by the Reed family of Medford, Oregon, was barking at evil again last night. Spraggles, a 4-year-old neutered male, used his canine instincts to detect the presence of an unseen sinister force before cornering it momentarily in a bedroom closet. Owner Ed Reed was there.
There was nothing in that closet but Grandma's old wedding gown and a hammer. I have no idea what got him so riled up.
At last report, Spraggles was in the Reed's backyard barking at yet more evil, this time in the form of a newspaper page swirling in the wind. Doyle Redland for The Onion Radio News, online at theonion.com.
See, now The Onion has it all. Dogs barking at evil in Oregon and sinister forces. It's all there for you, and that's why I had to start holyhexes.com. So, furthermore, from The Independent, Pope's organs much too holy to donate to mere mortals. Joey Ratz has tried to scotch rumors that he carried an organ donor card after his secretary revealed that his ascension to the position of the Holy Father means he's no longer able to bequeath his body parts to lesser mortals. And as if that wasn't enough, forgive me, iPhone, for I have sinned. Confess on the go with new app from the BBC, touting it proudly. The Catholic Church has approved an iPhone app that helps guide worshipers through confession. The Confession program has gone on sale through iTunes for $1.99 here in the States. Described as the perfect aid for every penitent, it offers users tips and guidelines to help them with the sacrament. Now, senior church officials in both the UK and US have given it their seal of approval in what is thought to be a first. The app takes users through the sacrament in which Catholics admit their wrongdoings and allows them to keep track of their sins. Confession. And then the update, of course, no, then the Catholic Church came back out and said, no, you can't confess via this new iPhone app. So more on this story from Reuters and CBS and CNN, and I even did the extra work that most sites don't do, and that's give you the link to the thing you're talking about, whether it's a new report released or something, in this case an app. I provide you the link to the iTunes store to go check it out. Now go say five hail whatevers. Death of the Phoenix. An interesting bit in Jewish Kabbalah. Jewish Kabbalists believe that the ancient civilization which God judged was advanced far beyond our own due to the enlightenment of its inhabitants by an extraterrestrial race of gods, those fallen angels who mated with human women, mentioned in Genesis 6. With a link for you. Genesis 6, 1 and 2. This is the Nephilim. This is something that we could touch on in a number of different areas. And we will begin to, all in holyhexes.com, dipping our toes into different areas. And again, we're trying to grow the monarchy. Trying to grow the kingdom and pass the keys off to folks, and we've now got someone on at least each site. And I'll spill more about all that stuff as time goes on. But lastly, on holyhexes.com, it's the latest episode from Red Ice TV, Symbolism in Logos. And what a perfect way to end our coverage on holyhexes.com, because, again, this gets to the heart of what I think we want to cover and shine a light on, especially the excellent work from others. That's, for the most part, we're aggregators. And the main content, a lot of times, from Media Monarchy comes from the audio and video telling the story of the week. I'm just trying to shine a light on stories other people are telling and put it together in a compelling text and path. Symbolism in logos. You can, of course, go back and get the other first three episodes, and they're all about an hour apiece, and they're excellent. There is exactly the really cool, inquisitive work that we love from Red Ice Creations. And now, what do we got to go over? We got to blast off to cyberspace war. So as we bring up our stories, and as we may make the browser crash, I'll take this opportunity to again mention what we were just referencing. We've got my man Zach here in Portland and Steve in London starting to post stories on holyhexes.com. We got Melissa out on the East Coast on Food World Order. We got Alan in Omaha here on Cyberspace War. So the DEF CON headlines, harsh sentences, Trojan horse, hot file. Sounds salacious, doesn't it? Hackers hit NASDAQ computers. And I haven't fully gotten into this story, but from what I could gather, it was basically just done to do it. There was no damage ultimately done. Hopefully, as they would say, with a white hat. You can get more on that from Business Standard. Asking the question, are we becoming hypnotized by our LCD screens? With, of course, the videos to go along with people falling into fountains and falling on the subway tracks as we're walking around texting and playing games. Have we shifted from the flicker rate of the television screen to the new LCD screen? Another question, will these pole shifts that we've already seen happening and they've repainted the alignments of airports in Tampa, Florida, is it possibly connected to mass animal die-offs? Pole shifts occurring, earth changes occurring, underway. It's going to bring more weather chaos, and of course, we have to make sure this doesn't all feed into the idea that we should pay carbon indulgences to Al Gore and the Rothschilds and J.P. Morgan. Child porn prosecutions and harsh sentences rising dramatically. That from the Canadian Press. FCC net neutrality is a regulatory Trojan horse, so says the EFF. More on that from Threat Level. And from Ars Technica, the MPAA is suing Hotfile.com for direct infringement, copyright infringement, and just theft on a staggering scale. Hotfile is, if you follow the logical progression of what we were doing through Napster and then what we could do through BitTorrent, it's just basically putting things up on a website and you download it. Our last note on this DEF CON blast of cyberspace war headlines. Twitter valued at $10 billion as now Google and Facebook and all the other social network sharks circle. And so I ask, perhaps completely rhetorically, will they be the latest sellout? Will Twitter be the latest startup, small, great idea company to sell their idea? Is that the American dream? The real American dream is that, is it to sell out now? That's the question. It's perhaps, again, unfortunately, rhetorical. But let's continue with cyberspace war coverage with a piece from the Daily Mail. Generation Net, do youngsters prefer virtual lives to real world? Children are often happier with their online lives than they are with reality, a survey has revealed. They can be exactly who they want to be, and as soon as something's no longer fun, they can simply hit the quit. The study shows that despite concerns about online safety, 1 in 8 young people is in contact with strangers when on the web and often lies about their appearance, age, and background. Researchers for children's charity Kidscape assessed the online activities of 2,311 to 18-year-olds from across the UK and found that 45% said they were sometimes happier online than in their real lives. The report, Virtual Lives, It Is More Than a Game, It Is Your Life, and again, we did the extra bit of typing and provide you the link to the PDF for this report, Virtual Lives, lays bare the attitudes of children today to the net and includes revealing insights into how they feel when they are on the web. One told researchers, it's easier to be who you want to be because nobody knows you, and if you don't like the situation, you can just exit and it's over. Another said, you can say anything online. You can talk to people that you don't normally speak to, and you can edit your pictures so you look better. It is as if you are a completely different person. In the flashback to just a few months ago in November of 2010, a huge story from the New York Times, Growing Up Digital, Wired for Distraction. Perhaps this is a follow-up to a post from a few months ago on Cyberspace War about dead drops, putting USB ports in brick walls and other random places around your urban or suburban landscape. In this case, from PC World, get internet access when your government shuts it down. These days, no popular movement goes without an internet presence of some kind, whether it's organizing on Facebook or spreading the word through Twitter. And as we've seen in Egypt, that means that your internet connection can be the first to go. Whether you're trying to check in with your family, contact friends, or simply spread the word, this article goes through different ways to build some kind of basic network connectivity when you can't rely on your cellular or landline internet connections. Something called mesh networking and several things, again, that I'm not fully versed on. And as we kind of jokingly always cite, I think, the Joe Rogan bit about if you drop us on a desert island, we're never going to be able to create a microphone or internet. So we better make connections, to say the very least. And what a lot of the commenters have on this story is what I put up at the top in parentheses, of course, except if the power goes out, none of these things are going to matter. That's the big equalizer there, isn't it? Unmanned X-47B, Rise of the Machines, a completely pre-programmed unmanned plane is more than just a drone. It's an unmanned combat air system. The X-47B went on its maiden flight and is reputed to refuel in air and land on aircraft carriers. Is it connected to Skynet, too? Alan, writing for cyberspacewar.com, hasn't felt this chill since seeing a cruise missile flying at treetop levels decades ago. Is it instinctive to sense the threat posed by hard metal against mortal flesh? Mail Online, in the article Rise of the Machines, maiden flight of U.S. Navy bat-winged robot stealth bomber that has no need for human pilot, makes it seem humanity may be riding into the sunset. Slightly smaller than the B-2 stealth bomber, the X-47B carries laser-guided bombs and can fly faster than 500 miles per hour at 40,000 feet. There are also links to videos, and we've discussed last year the mysterious flight of the X-47B, and of course, it won't be the last. I believe we've seen articles about Russia's similar unmanned, unstoppable, unlanding secret space plane. Furthermore, on cyberspacewar.com, we have posts about the space elevator carbon nanotubes, the new Eiffel Tower, Arthur C. Clarke, Fountains of Paradise, and even, yes, space elevator music. We discussed the idea of a space elevator, I believe, back in the archives of Media Monarchy before we even began cyberspacewar.com. Another interesting background, again, that is a great angle that cyberspacewar.com is bringing you, some of the events of the past. So many of these I'm unfamiliar with before I saw them blasting out, like the 1908 Tunguska blast, the biggest interdimensional cross rip, a mysterious blast more powerful than Hiroshima. Bizarre accounts of this story registering at seismic stations in Europe. And as we threw in the title, a line from Ghostbusters that references the Tunguska blast. History, mystery in the cyberspace war, and Nebraska's 1884 Roswell event. We've got the Phobos mystery, which of course connects to Obama and Hoagland. The Stargate in Iraq. This is something you may have heard folks like Freeman discuss. And here it is here with, again, tons of documentation and links for you to do your own investigating work on this. An exopolitical perspective on the preemptive war against Iraq. And we close out coverage on cyberspace war with a little bit of a rundown on Kevin Mitnick. Phone freak, social engineer Kevin Mitnick gained notoriety following his arrest in early 95 after a nationwide pursuit. People are familiar with Mitnick as a computer hacker who gained unauthorized entry into networks at Sun Microsystems, Nokia, NEC, Fujitsu, Siemens, among others. In 1982, Mitnick first received national attention for breaking into NORAD computers, which helped inspire the 1983 film War Games. The computer hacker turned computer security consultant, however, also had a career as a phone freak and plied his social engineering skills. Phone freaking was, in fact, Mitnick's first fascination. It's the act of gaining unauthorized access to a telecom network. Blue boxes were often used to gain access. Blue boxes use a 2600 hertz tone to seize control of telephone switches. The caller may then access special switch functions with the usual purpose of making free long-distance phone calls using the tones provided by the blue box. Mitnick alleges Steve Jobs and Wozniak of Apple fame used to make the boxes. More on that CNBC interview and tons of other coverage that, again, is the fascinating areas that we're bringing you. Trying to cover all the spectrums of news. And that was all the latest from cyberspacewar.com. I'll take this moment to remind you, this is the B-side episode 204 from MediaMonarchy.com. It's February 11th, 2011. My name is James M. Pilato, your host and webmaster of the site and show MediaMonarchy.com, trying to provide a audio-video edition of this show. And again, you may recall, we've dumped the video stream for the main live show because, again, it was just kind of wrecking things, and we have affiliates that carry the show live, and if I'm ruining the stream coming out of the station, it's not going to work very well. So we dumped it for the live show, and we're doing it here for what is still also a live show. But there are no time constraints. I come in and do it when I want, and no one's carrying it live. It's just between you and me, right? We're going to close out the B-side 204 episode from MediaMonarchy.com with the latest coverage over on FoodWorldOrder.com. And the first one shouldn't be much of a surprise, but we take it from Grist.org. Bad food makes kids dumber. A new study says 3-year-olds who mostly eat processed foods have lower IQs 5 years later. So Pop-Tarts and Sunny D are why we're falling behind China in math and science. The study, cited in The Guardian, examines the diets of 14,000 wee little Britlets based on what their parents reported feeding them. 3 is the magic number. Your brain grows the fastest from birth to age 3, says The Guardian, and what kids eat at 3 affects intelligence later, even if the kid's diet improves afterwards. Dumb and dumber. Every 1-point increase in the study's dietary pattern score, a record of processed fat intake, was associated with a 1.67-point fall in IQ. So veggies are good. The Guardian adds at the end this no-duh note. Food packed with vitamins and nutrients notably helped boost mental performance as youngsters got older. This all coming from the Journal of Epidemiology and Community Health. I believe we give you the link to the journal, but I don't think they are giving up the goods. They should sit in the corner with the dunce cap. USDA deregulates... That's what the D stands for. USDA deregulates genetically engineered sugar beets. From Change.org, the USDA announced last Friday, February 4th, 2011, that it would partially deregulate Roundup Ready sugar beets, allowing farmers to begin planting the GE crop this spring. Despite a California Supreme Court ruling 6 months back in August, which halted the deregulation of genetically engineered sugar beets, the USDA issued a partial deregulation for this genetically engineered crop. This is the first time the agency has issued a partial deregulation of a GE crop. Essentially, it means that farmers will be allowed to plant Roundup Ready sugar beets, but they must adhere to a USDA design plan to prevent contamination of organic sugar beet fields. An attempt to head off a future shortage of U.S. sugar supplies has been given by USDA officials as the agency's reason for the move. Last week, the USDA gave farmers the go-ahead to begin planting GM alfalfa. With a link back to our post last week on Food World Order covering the GM alfalfa. And we rhetorically again ask the question, do you think these things happen by accident? It's just the incompetence theory. A new study finds oysters are now also disappearing worldwide. A study published in Bioscience, the Journal of the American Institute of Biological Sciences, found that the oysters are rapidly disappearing and that 85% of their reefs have been lost as a result of disease and over-harvesting of the mollusks. Reading from the French agency Press, oysters are important to ecosystems because they filter impurities from water and provide food and employment for people living in coastal communities. The decline in oyster population often begins when trawling or dredging destroys the structure of parts of the reef, leaving surviving oysters vulnerable to the stresses in the environment. Now, that story, as well as the one before it, were posted in part thanks to, again, one of the newest members to the nascent and growing Media Monarchy Kingdom. So, thanks to Melissa for picking up some editing and posting duties on foodworldorder.com. And we'll close it all out with the Binge and Purge blast of headlines, Cedars Makers Actions. A fascinating story and a great idea from a site I had not seen before called TakePart.com. Secret Cedars plant edible veggies for inner city poor. Something I noticed when I got to Portland that I hadn't really noticed in other cities before is that folks do really leave a lot of their food around and sort of out of the way, put somewhere for someone to come along and grab it. Meanwhile, from the New York Times, raw milk cheesemakers fret over possible new rules. And a follow-up for a story we were covering in the last several months. But now the military steps in to buy up more, possibly poison Gulf seafood, as the White House and all their cronies went on the PR push over the last several months over the holidays, and they were going to, everybody's going to eat up this tainted seafood. We forget. Jesus, it's almost been a year since the Gulf oil spill. So many ridiculous things as we hurtle towards some sort of insane clash of the civilizations like they've written about. High sugar prices stimulate Neotame take up. Neotame from the makers of aspartame, NutraSweet, known to cause cancer in lab rats in California at the very least. High sugar prices. What were we just discussing? Oh, now you'll be more apt to take our genetically engineered, genetically modified organisms, GE, genetically eugenics. Naturalnews.com has a little bit of action for you where you can ask HHS, Health and Human Services, if they're going to lower the level of allowable fluoride, as we covered for you previously on Food World Order, and admit that they were wrong about those levels. How about they just end it entirely? Links for you to do just that. And as long as we're mentioning Natural News, and this would be a great way to end out the coverage here, they're now launching a 24-hour streaming talk radio station. As Natural News keeps growing and growing, they've had a video channel with food investigations and new video series going on, in addition to, of course, the website that's been going for quite a while now. Now a new 24-hour streaming talk radio show, and they even have another call that we're going to get to in episode 205 coming up when we get into all the media merger memes going around. But that's going to do it for foodworldorder.com, and that's going to do it for this B-side episode 204 from mediamonarchy.com. My name's James Evan Pilato, your host and webmaster. Again, thanking you, as always, for joining us here. If you find alternative media valuable, truly independent, non-commercial, non-corporate media, please support it. Please spread the word. Share it, thumb it, download it. It's all public domain. It's all fair use as far as I'm concerned. Just make connections, make communications, do homework, and we'll all share this information, and we'll all hopefully be prepared for whatever changes may be coming, whether they're internal or external. And so much of this is, of course, a war on consciousness. Thanks so much for joining us, and we'll just end by saying, as always, my friends, don't hate the media, become the media. Take care.
How would you explain it?
Combining music and stylized images.
It's all remote control.
Each one of those images was electronically based.
Say out on my threat.
And that concludes our program for tonight.
This could really catch on.
I can't remember when I've been so moved.